Well, hello there, and welcome once again to the AFA podcast, the official podcast of animationforadults.com. This is another interview special where we spoke with David Feiss. David is an animation legend best known for creating the Cartoon Network series Cow and Chicken and I Am Weasel. His new series, Armorsaurs, is now streaming on Disney+. So without any further ado, here is the interview. Hi, David Feiss. Welcome to the AFA podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we always like to start with pretty much the same question, which is, how did you get started in animation?
How did I get started?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started at age 19. I got very fortunate. I'd been making like 8mm movies as a teenager. And when I was my last year in high school, I decided I'm going to make a sound cartoon and use it to get into the studios. And so I animated a Beatles song, Maxwell Silver Hammer, and I made arrangements to bring my projector down to Hanna-Barbera. I got an interview and projected the film against a wall, and they hired me. And so that was, it doesn't always happen that way. And I realized in my career, like later on, that was kind of like the timing was just right. But that's when I started at 19. I was thrilled to be working at Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, what was the experience like working at Hanna-Barbera at that time?
Well, I was 1978, and so at that time, the studio was in full production, many productions, and they had animators were older people who were the veterans that had started animation. Like they were like ones that worked in Fleischer cartoons and all the MGA, the MG Metro Goldwyn MGM, like you know, working with Bill Hanna and Joe Barbera back in the 40s and the 50s. So these were the veterans and the ones I remember their credits from all the cartoons that I was watching growing up. And so, and I got to work with them, and some of them taught me techniques that I carry through to today.
Amazing. One of the earliest shows you worked on was Ren and Stimpy. How did that compare to working at Hanna-Barbera? Was it a very different environment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always tell people that John Crisfalusi's Ren and Stimpy actually opened the door for shows like my show with Cow and Chicken. Without Ren and Stimpy, I don't think that those shows would have ever gotten out in the air. And yeah, so it was totally different. It was like super creative. The studio system, like at Hanna-Barbera, you know, you get a supervisor would give you scenes and you animate, you know, at your desk. But with John, it was more like we're always there together, and it was just real collaborative. Story about Ren and Stimpy. I knew John back in 1985. We were both in Taipei, Taiwan, as supervisors on a reboot of the Jetsons TV series. And he was the layout supervisor. I was the animation supervisor, and we shared an apartment. And I remember he had his drawing tablet with Ren and Stimpy drawings all over it. And he said, "Ren and Stimpy, we're going to do this film. I'm going to sell it. You're going to animate on it." And I got all his buddies. He had put their names down. These are the people who are going to work on it. And it came to pass. Like within about 6 years, Ren and Stimpy was sold to Nickelodeon. You know, all the people that we talked about, including myself, worked on that pilot.
Awesome. And how did you come to create your pilot, No Smoking?
Right. Okay. So that was like 1994. I got a call from the people at Hanna-Barbera. I was working, I can't remember where I was working. I think I might be at MGM at that point, working on All Dogs Go to Heaven 2. And I got a call that they had the shorts program, and did I have any ideas I wanted to pitch? And it just so happened I had just written like a children's book based on a bedtime story I told my daughter, who was 6 at the time. And so I had just freshly done this thing. I said, "Yeah, actually, I have a couple ideas." And so I met this person that was actually from the new Cartoon Network, which she worked with in Hanna-Barbera. She and I was living up in Northern California, and she was in San Francisco. We met at a halfway point, at a coffee shop, and I pitched these ideas, including cow and chicken, and she really like latched onto cow and chicken. She said, "You know, we really like that." And within a couple of days, I said, "We'd like you to do a storyboard." So I storyboarded it out, and they said, "Okay, we want to go to pilot on this one." So that's how that kind of happened.
What was it that inspired the creation of Cow and Chicken and I Am Weasel?
Well, again, it was a bedtime story I told my daughter, because she was six, and I would read at night to her. And there was one night that I just didn't want to turn the light on. I just didn't want to read. So I just sat there, and I came up with the story of Cow and Chicken, and I just made the story up. And at the time, they were not brother and sister. They were like friends that went to school together, and they knew each other. And then in high school, they went separate ways, and then they come back together. And so that's how that one came about. And I'm Weasel came about once I did the pilot for Cow and Chicken, and they already had tested it, and they said, "Okay, we want to go to series on Cow and Chicken, but we want to have a format where it's a 7-minute cartoon with a middle cartoon and then another cow and chicken." So cow and chicken, middle cartoon, cow and chicken, and asked if I had any other additional ideas. And I sat down at my desk one day, and the first drawing I did was a weasel in a very heroic pose, which kind of like evoked a different kind of a character than the classic sneaky, conniving weasel. And I thought it would be fun if he had a heroic a weasel with a big booming voice. So that was the impetus of that. And then it just took a couple of thoughts to Monkey and the Weasel, that kind of let that you know that whole song. And so that's why I thought, well, baboons are really funny. So I added this baboon, because remember my kids would laugh at the red-butted baboon at the zoo. So that's how that came about.
What were the big influences on Cow and Chicken and I Am Weasel?
Biggest influences, always my biggest influences was like really Mad Magazine, like funny drawings. So what I was going for is my style is kind of based a lot on that. Like I was influenced by Sergio Aragonés and Mort Drucker, Jack Davis. But the influences are many, stylistically, humor-wise. I grew up a big Monty Python fan, so that type of humor was there. And also, a nod to John Cristofolusi, and the looseness of the humor could be anything. So I kept that in my it was always in my forefront, and still is to this day. That's how I approach what I do.
You worked as an animator, but also you work quite a lot as a storyboard artist. Do you have a preference for either discipline or?
Well, when I storyboarding is what basically the you know what is out there right now. There's not much call for like 2D animation, but I can say that when I board, I use all of the skills that I used as an animator. So I still really do animate while I do storyboard, because I do multiple panels. I'm planning of storyboards as if I was going to animate them, and so. I do in a way miss animation, but in other ways I like storyboarding, because you can do an entire film. You're doing the blueprint for that film, and so I think there's just kind of like expanding your mass a little bit more, and being able to control the look of something.
You've worked a lot in te television, but you've also worked quite a bit in features. How is it different working between the two?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, I mean, there is a lot of crossover. It's the same exact process. Just in features, you have one story that you're working on for about 18 months to 2 years, as opposed to television, which is you got one idea, but like in a TV series, you've got individual stories. So it's a little bit more, I don't know, like when television, they're just a lot of fun, like the vitality of having different ideas and having certain deadlines, especially like on a show like my own, where the schedule was I had to come up with four or eight new stories a week. And then they would choose like four, and then we whittled it down to two. So you had to, like, for Chow & Chicken, it was 102 episodes. I think there was at least 800 ideas written out. So there's a lot of different stories. So that the vitality of having to do that and calling upon your memories of being a kid, or what made you laugh when you were little, or what you're observing my own kids, or it was, so I enjoyed television quite a bit. And another question was like, how is it different? So in feature, it's there's a again, it takes a long time. So you're actually, having to it's like it's one long thing. So to stop from getting bored, because you can, is I mean, you're working with a team too, and because a feature film, there's like many people, so you have your own sequences. But I don't know, it's a different animal, but the actual drawing is exactly the same.
Awesome. So tell us about your new series, Armasaurus.
Armasaurus, yeah,
Yeah.
that's like one of the most different things I've ever done too. And I got into it with one of my business partners is from Palooza Animation, Connie Kwok. She brought me in. She was working at this company called MGA. That's a toy company. They had acquired the rights to this Korean show that was pre-existing. It was called Armored Saurus in Korean, the translation. And some really cool animation that was all Korean actors, live action, but with CG dinosaurs. And so the MGA, had the rights to this, and she brought me in, and I was working in like pre-production, and they had another director already in line, but he fell out. And it was like, because I've been working on it, and I had a lot of experience directing animation, was they said, well, can you direct it? And it was a great opportunity. Went to Korea, spent almost 3 months on a sound stage in outside of Seoul. Great cast, loved it, all the young people. They all, I mean, day one on set, everybody got together, they're all thrown together, and they liked each other. I could tell they were going to have an easy production. The synergy that was happening between them. So yeah, that's how that was the genesis of that, and had a great time on set, and had a great time the year after that, working in post-production. I just delivered the last show mid-December, and it premiered last night on Disney Plus.
How different is it working with live action and animation combined, working just from directing animation?
Yeah, well, it's different. An ideal situation would be you would have storyboards ahead of time while you're shooting the live action. We didn't have that luxury. There was a film schedule was set in stone that we have the sound stage for, 52 days or whatever it was, and the scripts were late. So I had my writer come with me to Korea, and he was writing just a couple of steps ahead of us shooting. So a lot of what was happening on set, I was actually storyboarding on set. A lot of shots where you have another thing about shooting this animation in live action, we were shooting on a green screen where the actors didn't even have a background to look at, as not to mention no dinosaurs to look at. So they had to imagine a lot. So I had to like be able to draw and explain, or even explain what they're looking at. You're looking at a pteranodon. It flies over your head and lands on a cliff over here, about 50 feet up in the air. You know what I mean? So having to get them up to imagine that, and sometimes I draw out the panels. And I did a lot of that actually. I did storyboard a lot that helped the cinematographer choose angles. So yeah, you're pre-planning. Well, actors are going to be talking to something that's going to be animated, months later.
Can you tell us anything about what you're working on next? Is it more dinosaurs or is there
No,
something
I
else?
actually I've got a number of projects. My day job, I work with Sony Animation, storyboard. But I'm also have another Korean project that I've been kind of like directing at night for a company called Ale Moly, and they have studios in Seoul, and a studio in Suncheon, which is south of Seoul. And we're doing a show called Astro Station. It's a brand new TV show that they created, but I got involved through some connections. And I'm really enjoying that. It's a CG show for kids being animated in India. First season has been bought by the Korean Broadcasting System, KBS, and it starts broadcasting in May. And
Awesome.
what else? We got. I'm out with my business partner at Palooza, Connie Kwok. I'm developing the feature right now, too, the one that brought me into MGA to do Armasaurus. So, yeah, I'm busy.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much for talking with us today. That's all our questions.
Okay.
It's been a really good conversation. Learned a lot.
Well, I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for the interview.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to catch up with everything we're doing, visit us at animationforadults.com for the latest animation news, reviews, and stuff. On social media, you can find us on Twitter at AFA Blog. You can find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, Instagram, and more coming soon. If you'd like to help us out, you can visit us at patreon.com/animationforadults or make a donation via PayPal or buy us a virtual coffee. Thanks again for listening and stay tuned for more.